Welcome to Architecture Talk Tongue. I am Sarah Colada, an architect and organizer of the Disrupt Symposium, the first of its kind business of architecture event, bringing to stage major architecture practices to cover topics related to entrepreneurship and practice operations within the AEC industry. I am an architecture business development consultant, and my goal is to raise the financial well-being of architects through effortless business growth. Each podcast episode features an expert or thought leader from the AEC industry who shares their journey, challenges, and advice. Now, let's dive into this episode and welcome our guest for an exclusive interview. Hello, everybody. This is Sarah Colada with Architecture Talk Tongue. Today, we're coming back to some of the core topics that we devote this podcast to, which is business development for architects. An expert guest today is Lucas Gray. Lucas, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Excellent. Lucas is an expert on business development for architects, and he also works as a consultant and business developer for the Charette Venture Group, which is an organization out of the US that helps small architecture firms be better at business. And we're going to talk a little bit about business development, about Lucas's career, and try to give you some advice about business development, which I think is very important for architects. And we'll talk a little bit about Charette Venture Group too. So Lucas, let's start with you perhaps. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, I'll do my best to keep this short because I've had a pretty diverse kind of journey to where I am now.
Take your time. We're interested in stories here.
Great. So I grew up in the States, in upstate New York, outside of Albany. Was there until went to college, and I studied architecture up at McGill University in Montreal. Had a great time learning about architecture. It was really a passion of mine, but also living in a bigger city, which was kind of an interesting change from kind of a more suburban upbringing. Upon graduating from McGill, I actually moved to Bangkok, Thailand. The idea was to have an adventure. I figured I would teach English for a little bit. Once I got there, I realized I had an architecture degree. I was interested in architecture. So I started looking for jobs in that world. And I ended up getting a job at a large like engineering company, CH2M Hill, in their Bangkok office. So I had a 6-month internship there. I then transferred with that company up to their Shanghai office, where I worked for another 6 months before leaving and joining a more boutique architecture firm there. So in Shanghai, I was working on really crazy large scale projects from, you know, high rise office towers to sports stadiums to urban plans. Did a lot of competition entries throughout the country. Super different world of architecture than kind of what is normal in the US. So after about 2 years working there, I went back to the States for grad school. So I went to the University of Oregon. So I was interested in kind of sustainable design, and their program is really known for that. So I went back to do my master's there. I was in Eugene, Oregon for about 2 years. Upon graduating, I got a travel scholarship. So I actually went down to Australia to participate in the Glenn Merkitt Masterclass, which was an incredible experience. Both learning from Glenn and the other tutors, but also kind of networking with this group of 30 architects from all over the world. It was really, really special experience. And then part of this travel scholarship that I got from the University of Oregon was to actually travel from there all the way around the world. So I went to Japan, I took the ferry from Japan to Russia, then took the train across Russia. I took some ferries around the Baltics and ended up in Berlin, where I settled and lived for 2 years, working for a couple different boutique design firms. Again, traveling, exploring Europe. I worked on some projects in Russia, so I got to travel around Russia a lot. But then as as you and a lot of the listeners know, Berlin is just this really cool international city with creative people from all over, but also so centrally located, it's so easy to explore the rest of Europe. So going to Paris or Italy or Switzerland or Poland, it was just really fun to kind of explore just a new part of the world. I then moved to Portland, Oregon. The main reason for that was kind of every 2 years I was moving from city to city, and I knew that I wanted to start my own business at some point and wanted to be in a place where A, I had some network that I could rely on, but also spend longer time to really build a community, lay down roots, which is what you need to have a successful business. So I moved to Portland, Oregon. I worked for a architecture firm there for about 3 years. Two of the years I was actually working as a more traditional architect using Revit and doing construction documents, et cetera. But one of the years at the firm, I was actually working in their marketing department, which I actually enjoyed more than the architecture. So it started opening my eyes to other kind of avenues within the architectural world that you could work in. So I worked on a lot of RFP, RFQ responses. I helped rebuild the website. I helped start social media. This was, you know, 10 years ago when it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. And then helped with interview prep, presentation graphics, things like that within the marketing department. After being at that firm for 3 years, I was kind of ready to take that leap and start my own firm. So I ended up partnering with two co-founders, and we started a small firm called Propel Studio. We really focused on residential projects and small-scale retail, but primarily housing. So we did a lot of accessory dwelling units, custom homes, some like missing middle scale, like, you know, plexes. And we did some affordable housing projects, and then we did a lot of community work. So small scale, like urban interventions or community engagement workshops, and kind of finding ways to use design thinking to help communities come up with creative ways to make their town or community a better place to live. The most kind of exciting result of that work was working with a small town in Japan called Arigatawa. It's about 2 hours by train south of Osaka. It's in the mountains. They're famous for growing oranges, but it's a town of like 20 to 25,000 people. And similar to a lot of small towns, at least throughout the US, but I'm sure throughout the world, is their population is declining. The younger people go off to the bigger cities for university, for careers, to get jobs, and very few are moving back to these smaller communities. So we were brought in to run a series of these workshops to kind of help the town brainstorm ideas to make it a more desirable place to live, particularly for young people, with a specific focus on young women. Mostly, well, within Japan society, the firstborn sons are coming back, taking over the family farm or the family business, but women don't have the same kind of business opportunity in these places, so they stay in the bigger cities. So we were kind of really talking about how do we create a more interesting environment for people to come and start businesses, have places to go, and kind of not just kind of be stuck at home, or, you know, be stuck as you know, in a small town with not much to do. So the idea was really to how to enliven these places for people of all ages. Going back to my career arc, I ran Propel for about 7 years with my partners. My wife, who's also an architect, ended up getting a great job opportunity in New York City. So I decided to sell my shares of the business to my partners. They're still running Propel in Portland. I followed her to New York. The type of work that we were doing at Propel was very small scale and local. It didn't really translate to the bigger city. So it was kind of just a natural place to kind of let them continue with that business and kind of pursue other things. What I found, having worked in the marketing department at a firm and then running my own business, is I really enjoyed the business side of architecture more than the serving the clients and doing the architecture side of architecture.
Architecture Talk Tank is sponsored by the good people at Integrated Projects, a team of architects and technologists focus on the digitalization of the built environment. Did you know that there are more existing buildings in this world than websites? Yet only 0.0001% have been digitized. In response to this, the Integrated Projects team launched BIMIT to digitize any space imaginable. Offices, homes, mechanical spaces, you name it. Now any architect, engineers, or reality capture specialist can convert their 3D scan into LOD 200 BIM, just in hours, not weeks or months. Why does this matter? Well, now we can accurately view, verify, and quantify the spaces that we design, build, and operate. To learn more about BIMIT, visit www.integrated-projects.com/Sarah Collada.
So I was kind of rethinking what I wanted to do with my life, with my career. I luckily had some time. Kristen's job was great, which gave me some flexibility to kind of explore a bunch of different things. I read a ton of business books, tried to give myself like almost a mini MBA without having to go back to school to kind of learn all the things that I didn't know when I started the business. Mm-hmm. I made tons of mistakes, and if I did it again, I would do things very differently. So I really wanted to kind of learn more about the foundations or the fundamentals of business that I could then apply to whatever I did next. And what I ended up doing is joining CVG as a business consultant. So we actually, I knew CVG because we actually hired them when I was running Propel. Because we knew what we knew and we didn't know what we didn't know. So we brought CVG in to help us focus on the business aspects of the firm. So talking about, you know, operational efficiencies, organizational design, the basic finances of operating a firm. So when I had the opportunity after a few months of kind of re-educating myself on business foundations, I stayed in touch with CVG and the people there because they were always great to work with. And when there was an opportunity to join them, I jumped on at the opportunity so I could work with other architects and kind of share some of the mistakes that I made, but also some of the new things that I was learning.
I love this. Wow, you literally had such a well-versed experience in life and travel. I think it really helps to grow personally, which makes a really great coach, and also moving forward, having the real life experience of actually running an architecture practice, being an architect yourself, which I appreciate because I think that it's really hard to go through transitions, having gone through all that education and also somehow, you know, molding into a system, which is a very traditional system of practice and education and practice. And I think that it takes, it is quite a challenge to leave that path of being an architect and say, oh, I'm now going to do consultancy, because in a way, perhaps, and it's a close by shift because you're still sort of working with architects and within the industry. And yet, again, like the moment that starts, you look back and I'm sure, I mean, I don't know if you worked on design projects, but probably those suffered a little bit. So it's that kind of decision of like, I'm not going to be building my portfolio anymore. I'm doing something different. I appreciate that because certainly it takes that sacrifice. But as you said, you were really passionate about the business side of things. And I really relate to that. Tell me a little bit more as to like what specifically is excellent about it. And, you know, I think it takes a lot of learning and a lot of listening and constant growth. But what's in business that specifically talks to you? What is exciting?
Yeah, great question. I think to go back to one of the other things you alluded to there, studying architecture and then practicing for a long time, you really build your identity around that profession.
Extremely.
And leaving the traditional practice of architecture, especially during that transition period I had moving to New York and trying to find my next career, it was an emotional struggle because I was giving up kind of part of my identity. Mm-hmm. I should point out, just to clarify, I am not a licensed architect. I studied, I practiced for a long time. I just never took my exams. So technically I'm not a licensed architect.
Same here.
But I think part of the reason I didn't become licensed was also that I had a wide variety of interests and they didn't fit into that traditional mold of go to school, do your internship hours, take your exams, work as an architect, move up to become a project architect and then a project manager and then maybe a principal, whatever. I was always interested in like thousands of things, both within and without and outside of the profession. I think that's part of what attracted me to the business side of practice, is I still got to engage with the profession that was part of my identity and part of the passion for why I studied architecture, but allowed me to dabble in a whole bunch of different things. Because when you're running a business, you're no longer focused on necessarily a project or the details of putting a project together or whatever, design styles, et cetera. You're dabbling in that a little bit, but you're also managing people and you're doing business development and sales and marketing, and you have to learn about the legal side of contracts and you have to go out and give presentations and then come back and put graphics together and then jump into a project and give feedback and then talk to a client and then deal with conflict resolution. There's just like so many aspects of it that kind of was interesting to my lack of patience. I'm just kind of curious as a person and like kind of studying all these different aspects of what I would do on a day-to-day basis.
I love this. And yeah, and that's excellent, because in a way, as long as there's that feeling of like giving up an identity, you also know that you're pursuing new things, and that's also exciting. So there's a loss and a gain in the same place, right? So yeah. Moving forward, like, wanted to speak a little bit about that business, like, you know, starting businesses and actually being involved in businesses is extremely rewarding. I think from the perspective of actually being able to learn that even mistakes are gains, because it's better to learn what not to do than just focus on what to do sometimes. So I kind of see in business that like even failures are actually successes. But what is it for you specifically that excites you? And after all, with all these experience and everything, you chose to do business development. So it must be something special in it.
I think, so I'll talk about this in two different ways. So one is the business development that I do within CVG. And one of the things that I love about it is that the fundamental root of business development is building relationships with people. I enjoy talking to other architects. So I enjoy, whether it's going to an AIA convention or having conversations like this online or interacting with people through LinkedIn posts or blogs or whatever. It's just interesting to hear about different people's paths, what they work on, what they're passionate about, what their interests are. Because within the profession, like, yes, everyone's practicing architecture, but there's a million different ways to do it. And there's different project types, there's different regions, different countries practice differently. Different people are passionate about different things. Someone might be super passionate about designing educational facilities, or someone else's healthcare, or someone else's housing. It's just really fascinating to talk about each individual's interests and goals in life. And that's what I enjoy about the business development side, particularly in my role now. I go out and talk to architects, try to learn about what they're passionate about, but also what their struggles are, challenges are that maybe we could help solve or help them overcome. And that's the other side of, I think, what I like about my role now that was similar to practicing architecture, is at the end of the day, we're helping people. We're solving their problems. So now I'm working with a variety of clients to solve some of their business challenges. And it's super rewarding talking to them. I learn about their business, how they're running things, how they do things maybe differently than other people, but also connecting the dots on how similar all these businesses are. So taking lessons learned from one company and applying it to another. But at the end of the day, it's rewarding when those things are successful, when you see that some of the advice you gave or the work you were doing together led to a better result. And that's the same as kind of when I was practicing architecture, designing for clients, solving their problems through design. Now I'm just designing something differently. Instead of designing a house or a retail space, I'm designing a business in collaboration with that business owner. So yeah, I think it's that's really kind of the fundamental aspect of what I do that I really enjoy. It's building those relationships, having those conversations, me listening as much as possible to learn about what's going on in the industry, what's going on with individuals, what's going on with individual businesses, and then using that knowledge to help solve problems or connect people with the right solution. Sometimes that might be working with us. Sometimes it might be something completely different, a book that I can recommend, or just jumping on a quick call and, you know, answering a specific question that someone might have.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about business development. What is it? There's so many different other categories of business that almost are married with business development. I think that the boundaries between one and another blur very often, like business development and marketing, communications, prospecting, sales, even business growth. But where does business development lay, and how would you define it best?
Yeah, I would start by talking about the differences that I see between marketing and business development. Because like you said, they're very intertwined. There's probably a lot of overlap. But the best way that I've been able to kind of describe the differences is marketing is maybe more about getting people to know that you exist. So it's having people find you. Where business development, so I guess to follow up on that, it would be building an audience, right? You're getting other people to, whether it's through content, through your website, through presentations, conversations, whatever it is, it's getting people to know you're there, maybe that you might be of some interest to help them with whatever they're struggling with. Business development, I think, is when you're taking some of that audience and converting them into clients. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer just kind of broadcasting, attracting an audience, but it's taking specific people, building a relationship with them, understanding what their challenges are, and maybe fostering them through a sales process to where they want to hire you for a specific scope of work. In our context, we do a lot of marketing through content creation, e-newsletters, social media posts, presentations at events. We do a lot of like thought leadership and workshops through the American Institute of Architects and other organizations, conversations like this one with you, to get people to know that we're out there, that we're focused on helping, you know, small architecture and design firms run better businesses. And then my role is to then take some of the people who express an interest and have conversations with them, build a relationship with them that's no longer just about consuming media or content, but it's now a face-to-face interaction. It's let me learn about you as a person, learn about you as a business person, and see what your challenges are that we might be able to help with. And then answer questions, have conversations that they can understand what we could do to help solve their problems.
Mm-hmm. I love this. So let's just say that, you know, there is a starting business developing. How, by the way, what size is a small architecture practice?
I mean, a small architecture practice probably varies depending on where you are, but somewhere between 1 and 40 people. Mm-hmm. Firms that we tend to work best with are really in that kind of 5 to 25 person range. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, I would say, are in like two groups. One is that like 5-person, 6-person, 7-person firm where maybe the firm owner started as a sole practitioner, ended up hiring people and got to the point where, oh, this is a real business. Now I need to learn how to manage and run this as a business rather than as like a sole practitioner type enterprise. The other ones are the ones that are probably already established, but are going from that like 10 to 15 person range into the 20 to 25 person range. So kind of moving from that like smaller startup mentality into more of like a medium-sized or established business. A lot of those firms are also going through like ownership transitions. So it's firms that might be bringing in that next level of leadership, who, you know, the founding partners might be thinking about or moving towards retirement at some point in the next 5 to 10 years, and really trying to establish systems and processes that are repeatable to allow that firm to outlive, you know, any one person.
This episode of Architecture Talk Tank is brought to you by the MGS Global Group, a team that provides on-demand CAD and BIM drafting, as well as renderings for architecture firms. In today's environment, with everyone experiencing a surge in projects and staffing challenges, MGS Global can deliver your drawings on time and within your budget. So why work with MGS Global? Their customer service is exceptional and they provide quality for value. They have completed over 5,000 projects worldwide, a testament to their work. Now you can focus on design and let MGS do the rest. Check them out at www.mgsglobalgroup.com.
So that's kind of our niche, is kind of really in that, you know, 5 to 25 five-person firms. We are working on some other programs to help the like 1 to 5 person firms, the startup offices who are just starting out and want to, you know, learn the foundations of, you know, of running a business. A lot of architects start their business because they're interested in serving clients and designing, and maybe they weren't getting that opportunity at a firm, but they might not have the business foundations. Like this was what I went through, is I knew I could design. I didn't know what I was doing when it came to the business side. So I hired CDG to kind of help me and my partners understand the business foundations or fundamentals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a long answer to what is a small firm.
I love that. No, that's great, actually. And it's really good to also how you said about the different transitions that at certain stages happen. Due to, for example, the time that's passed, so therefore there's like leadership transition, maybe growth, like acquisition of new leadership, or even merging and acquisition, so therefore two businesses merging. But yeah, it's interesting that there are definitely different challenges and different things we're looking at every single stage of business development. And so therefore, I think bottom line, it's really important to surround yourself by people who can help at that stage, but also expose yourself to the problems of the people ahead of you that maybe are already running the bigger practices or are in the place where you're at, through either, you know, again, following on social media, different things, or essentially hearing them speak, read blogs, etc. But yeah, it's super important to expose yourself to that, because at every stage there is a new challenge in business for sure, and it's exciting as well to grow. So let's talk a little bit about the challenges that happen for small firm or owners, firm owners, up to, let's just say, 25, 30 employees.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of main topics that we focus on. So one is the fact that when you start a business, your job is now running a business, and it's not really being an architect anymore. Mm-hmm. And the very small firm, so the 1 to 6 people, quite often the firm owner is still doing a lot of billable work, probably 50% of their time, maybe 60% of their time is still spent serving clients, doing architecture, doing design. And it's a real challenge for them to take a step back, give up the control that they have over individual projects or the design or client communications or whatever, and focus on actually running the business side of the practice and letting the people that they hire run the architecture projects. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what we do with those initial like firms in that kind of like, yeah, 5 to 10 person range is coaching people through the fact that really, they should probably be 30%, maybe 35% billable, and 65% of their time, 2/3 of their time, is focused on running the business. Mm-hmm. In that context, typically, you can almost break it down into thirds, where about 1/3 you're working on direct projects, 1/3 you're managing people, you're managing the operations, you're managing the finances of the business, And then maybe another third, you're focusing on marketing and business development, going out, meeting people, giving presentations, getting in front of an audience, attracting clients, and then fostering those clients through, I know architects hate the word sales, but you're basically selling them on the services that you can provide. So that's kind of the first step, is coaching people through that transition from being an architect to being a business person. I think when you get to the larger firms, typically if you're 20 people or so, the firm owners or firm principals have gotten to the point where they are having to, just through the natural evolution of the business, spend more time on the business side, less on the architecture side. They probably have maybe a studio director or multiple studio directors leading different project types, or senior project managers that are probably managing the day-to-day architectural work. So this schematic design through CA. And the principals coming in maybe to give guidance, give mentorship, give feedback, but they're probably spending the majority of their time doing business development, building relationships, running the firm, et cetera. For those firms, a lot of the work that we do is helping them define systems and processes that are improving their operational efficiency. So how do we manage a team more appropriately? What are the tools we're using? Are they the right tools? Who are the people in the firm? Like doing an organizational design. So who are the people that are there now? What are the holes in the knowledge that they might have? Who should we be hiring to supplement the existing team so you could be more effective? So a lot of that could be, like I'm working with a bunch of firms now who are in the process of like bringing in like a senior studio director who can come in and really help manage the day-to-day operations of the architecture team, which opens up the business owner's time to do more business development, go meet people, foster relationships, et cetera. So those are kind of the two main ones. And then a growing trend over the last few years has been, like I alluded to earlier, or ownership transitions. So I think that there's this generational shift that we're going through, where the baby boomers are either have recently retired or are moving towards retirement, and firms are struggling kind of fostering that next level of leadership. So a lot of the work we've been doing with firms has been kind of coaching through how to start planning for that. So even if you're in your 50 to 55, you're not ready to retire for 10 to 15 years, you should start planning for that now. So you have a system in place so that you know that you can sell your business or sell your shares or transfer them over time to an emerging leader who's already at your firm who could take over. But kind of coaching people through that that planning phase of planning for that transition of the firm.
I love that. This is so interesting because I think it tells us a lot about some of the things that we have to think about and also prepare for, and that each of these stage requires really proper planning and really deep dive approach into how to do it right. You know, you can't really overlook it or wing it, because the whole team pays for it. And also it can really affect the growth of a business. So it's really interesting that at all these stages, we're also growing and learning, right, as business owners, especially if we're at the practice for a long time. So this is really fascinating. Tell me a little bit more about what can we do as business owners to be better, basically, at running businesses. Some of the things that, you know, obviously architects are very busy, usually have very little time. And a lot of times we just repeat what works. And maybe if something doesn't, sometimes we learn how to cope with it. And sometimes we just kind of wing it or swipe it under the carpet, because it's so hard to focus on figuring those things out. So what is a good practice as a business owner to remain current, to keep learning, and, you know, maybe surrounding yourself with the right advice?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of habits that I think are good to build. So one would be making sure that you are setting aside the appropriate amount of time to actually take a step back from working in the business and allowing you to work on the business. So just like designing a project for a client, you need to spend time designing the business for everyone within it. So that would be strategic planning, financial projections, budgeting, kind of all of those things that I know architects, myself included, would push to the back burner because we wanted to focus on the design. But without the foundations to allow the business to be financially successful, you can't serve your clients, you can't do design, you can't do the work that you love. So you have to make sure that you're dedicating a certain amount of time to making sure that the building, that the business is working correctly. So like I alluded to earlier, I do think 20 to 30% of your time should be focusing on business development and marketing. So that's, 10 hours a week, 20 hours, or 10 to 15 hours a week focusing on those things. So that means every day carving out 2 hours that you can go meet with people, you write a blog post, you go give a presentation somewhere, you take a client out for lunch. But make sure that you're scheduling those things just like you would schedule project work, and making sure that it's consistent, that you're not spending 1 week doing marketing and then not doing marketing for 4 weeks and then doing it again, but instead planning it on a daily basis, that you're doing a little bit every day so you have consistency. Being consistent is going to be a lot more effective than kind of doing it one off when you're slow or don't have enough work. So planning, I think, is a big one, just time management. I think continued learning. We love reading design magazines and getting inspired by the latest technology or materials or whatever. But we also need to stay up to date on what's going on in the business world. So that could be reading books about marketing, business development. It could be understanding finances. It could be just learning about negotiation or law or whatever, finding different aspects of the business and continuing to learn about it so you can become more effective in all of the different shoes that you need to fill as a business owner. And then I think the other one is just stay curious. It's learn what are the new trends, what are the new technologies, what are the new tools. Like AI is very trendy now. Like, you should be reading about it. Learn about how it could impact your business, both in terms of could it take away jobs, could it replace your business, but also how can you utilize those tools in an effective way that makes you and your team better at what you do? How can we utilize AI or a new software or something else to better serve your clients, to come up with solutions that are either more effective or how to do your job faster? Like, it could be as simple as it saves a couple hours of time. So kind of always staying on top of trends and knowing what's going on in the industry as a whole, and how some of those things could be impacting your firm and your operations, I think is super important.
Mm-hmm. I love this. This is great advice. So if anyone wanted to work with you, where do they find you, Lucas?
Yeah, the best place to reach out would be to start probably on LinkedIn. You can connect with me, send me a message. I'm always happy to chat or set up a video call. Our website is charettevg.com. You can learn more about our company as a whole, see more about our whole team and what we do. I focus on kind of business operations and business development, but we have a whole team that focuses on marketing strategy, on ownership transition. So we have different experts for all different aspects of you know, areas of operational improvement for a business. So check out the website. But please get in touch. I think the best way or what I find is most effective is having calls. I want to meet people individually. Typically we do like half an hour calls just to get to know them, understand their business challenges or their concerns, answer questions, do whatever we can to just offer free advice within a short call, and then see if there's something of interest that might be a good fit for some of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lucas. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for everyone who tuned in and listened to us today. And we'll all see you all in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Architecture Talk Tank has its own frequency. We're not a regular podcast, but we are here for you, always. If you have a suggestion for a guest, or have a story that others in this community can benefit from, please contact me via social media or email me directly at me at saracolara.com. To sign up for my newsletter, simply go to the website saracolara.com. I am on Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. You can find me by typing my name, Sara Colara. Come say hi. I'm always excited when you reach out. Bye for now, and see you in the next episode.